this afternoon. And I want to kind of follow along with just a little bit of what Brother Jimmy is talking about. I want to tell you about a conversation I had with a young man in Texas and a statement he made that I'll never will forget this as long as I live. And his name was Alan Evans. I think Jimmy might know him. He's a young man who I used to just love to preach to him because he's almost deaf, at least he used to be. He had a disease and almost totally lost his hearing. But the reason I like to preach to him was he loved the Lord so much, he would just sit on the edge of his bench and just read your lips. He so much wanted to hear the message that he just sat there and just strained for every word. And I just used to love to preach to Alan. So I was in Texas here not too long ago and got to be with him. And I've had a conversation with him. You know, usually I'm going to show you what a sinner I am. This is a kind of confession. I don't like to talk to Alan. I like to preach to him. I don't like to talk to him. And you know why I don't like to talk to him? I'm too lazy. Because you got to look right at him and say every word just right. And he doesn't get it sometimes. So it's a struggle to talk to him. So most people are so selfish they won't even talk to him. And I'm not much better than they are, maybe no better, but I do feel kind of guilty if I don't talk to Alan. So I used to always spend a little time talking to him. But I got a great blessing this last time I was in Texas talking to Brother Alan Evans. And I said, Alan, we're just talking about dying. And I said, you know, Alan, I said, really the only thing we lose when we die is our sinful nature. And I wish you could see his face, the way he came back at me. He agreed with me, but he said something even more profound than that. He said, I'll tell you what you lose when you die. He said, we lose our self-centeredness. And that's hit me right in the heart. Friends, that's what's wrong with us. We're self-centered. And that's what Brother Jimmy's talking about. You know, the human being who's not born again, that's all they think about is being self-centered. Now, before I get on that, I'm going to go to a couple of scriptures on that, but I want to prove something to you. You may not, I think you believe this, because Brother Jimmy preaches from the scriptures, but Brother Jimmy said, even sinners know they're doing wrong. And that's the truth. Let me read you a verse to prove it to you. Every sinner knows they're doing wrong down deep inside. I don't believe there's such thing as an atheist. There's no such thing as an atheist. People may like make a lot of racket, say they're atheists. There's no such thing as an atheist. Right in the very depth of their heart, they know they're wrong. You know, we were made in the image of God. We were made in God's image. And when we sinned, when Adam fell into sin, that image was marred. That image was not totally obliterated. And Michael Goins said something that removed me at one of the a preacher's meeting we had in Cincinnati, and I want to share that with you, what he said about this. He said, you know, if we were down in, say, Guatemala, and there's some of the Mayan ruins we saw, this may be a big Mayan temple, but hundreds of years ago, it had been a magnificent temple. It deteriorated. Hey, we came up on that Mayan temple, he said, there are two things we'd say. Number one, we'd say, what a magnificent thing this must have been. But number two, we'd say, what a ruin this is. And friend, that's the way it is with us. We were made in God's image. But we still retain the image of God. It's been greatly marred. So what I'm saying is, one thing we still have a conscience. Now, it's messed up by sin. We still have a conscience. So every human being knows, deep down inside, they're doing wrong. But what it is, sin so insane, either we know what we're doing wrong, we really know what the judgment's going to be, probably, we still rebel against God. That's how wicked sin is. So listen, we ought to thank God for this freedom you talk about, being delivered from that kind of bondage. We'd be right there with the rest of the world if it weren't for God delivering grace. Listen, you can imagine what it must be like to be in the bondage of sin. Now, I'm bothered by sin. You're bothered by sin. Brother Jimmy is realistic about that. We struggle, don't we? Don't you struggle? Don't we identify with what he said a while ago when Galatians says, the flesh lusteth against the spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so you cannot do the things that you would? Don't we all identify with the Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 7? You know, some people say, no, Paul, he wrote that, his experience before he was born again. That's not true. You read the context of Romans 7. Paul wrote about his present life. He said, when I would do good, evil is always present with me. I'm glad this is in the Bible. I'm not glad I'm a sinner, but I want to be realistic. And while I do strive to serve God, I don't want to put the unrealistic picture before God's people is they'll never fall into sin. Friends, we've got to have to struggle till we die. But the very fact we're struggling, we all thank God for it. Now let me go to Romans 1 and read you a verse here. Now this is a terrible catalog of sins. Let's look at some of these sins. I want to show you what bondage we would be in and were till we were born again. And I want to go down that last verse there. Let's begin in, say, verse 28. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, and that's the way man can knowledge, God gave them a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. Now get this. Now this is not a person who's born again. Now I know we can have some of these things in us if we are born again, but we will not be given over to them. there's a difference between a born-again child of God and one who's not a child of God. I'll admit it, Jimmy. I still like sin. Do you like the sin? I've had to fight against sin. I'm going to just be really down home with you today. I mean, I'm talking about where the rubber meets the road. I had a great victory the other day. And I wanted to tell you about it, because I don't always have a victory. I'm a 63-year-old man. I love the Lord. I'm not just a kid anymore, but I'm still a sinner. And so the other day, in our home, a magazine came in there, and I knew it was kind of a bad magazine. Nobody subscribed to it. It's put out by Marlboro. You ever seen one of these? It's directed to young people. And my son John doesn't subscribe to it, but somehow he got a mailing list. He got that magazine. Now, there's no real nudity in there like Playboy, but there's still some pretty gross pictures because I've seen them before. When I got that magazine, I thought, you know what I think I'll do? I'm going to look at this thing and then throw it away. But you know what? And I'm a preacher, an old Baptist preacher, and I love the Lord. I said, I'm going to look at this thing, and I'll see a pretty good picture, and throw the thing away. You never know about it, because I'm going to hide in this room in here while I look at this. So you know what I did? I'm serious about this. What I did, Mark, the Holy Ghost started working on me. So I got the magazine. You know what I did? Thank God I never even took the cover off of it. I stuck it in a garbage can. I had a victory. And I thank God for that. I had a struggle. And I hope I always have a victory. But I want to be realistic about that. You have struggles too. You have sin also. You have temptations. Don't ever say you don't have temptations. Don't be a self-righteous Pharisee. Brethren, we all have temptations. We've got to fight those temptations. We need to talk to each other about it. And then in the right way. We need to resist temptation. And then realize God's word says, if you resist the devil, and I resisted the devil by God's grace, and he fled from me. Now, you know what? That temptation will come again one of these days. I'll have that to fight again. Hope to God I'll win the battle again. I have not always won the battle. But I hope to God, brothers and sisters, I'll win the battle again. Let me say this too. This is like one way I thought it was going to go, but I think the Lord's in the matter today. One time, I had a sin that bothered me quite a bit. I had not committed a sin for years. I thought I had it made. I'd never be bothered with this again. But you know, the devil's always watching for us. He wants to pull that loose string in our life, doesn't he? So I'm in my office. Here I am, a preacher, in my office. And I got this overwhelming desire to commit this sin. And it frightened me because I knew that it was going to get me. It's too strong for me. I knew it. So I didn't know what to do. I tried to pray. It didn't work. Sometimes praying works. So I try to sing, and sometimes that works. Sometimes when I begin to sing praise to God, that will break the power of temptation. But we've got to use different weapons sometimes at different times. I tried that. And you know what the Holy Spirit did? He brought a scripture to my mind. Brother, that's the way we fight the devil, is with the Word of God. This scripture came to my mind. Here it came to my mind. I know God brought it to my mind. He said over in James, confess your faults one to another, pray one to another, you may be healed. You know what I did? I picked the telephone up. I called a trusted brother. I knew he could keep his mouth shut. I said, brother so-and-so, I'm in trouble. I said, the devil is tempting me to commit this sin. I said, I feel like I'm going to give in to it. So I said, I thought about this scripture. The Bible says, confess your faults one to another, pray one for another, you may be healed. So I'm confessing to you what I've got on my mind to do. I don't want to do it. I want you to call me back in about 15 minutes to see if I succumb to the sin. And you know, he did. I never did commit that sin. Isn't that great, brother? Listen, we've got weapons. We don't have to give in to the devil. There are ways to fight the devil. So what we need to do is when we have victory with each other, share with each other about those kind of things. Like I say, the arsenal is there. One time I had a temptation to commit sin, and like I say, what broke that was just singing. I began to praise the Lord. So I tell you, let's try all of it. Let's pray, let's read the Bible. Let's do a little singing. Let's be accountable to each other. Let's confess faults to one another. Brothers and sisters, if we use the means and the weapons that God has given us, we can overcome sin. You try it on your own, you're going to probably fail. We need to pick each other up, don't we? But let me say this, don't ever get self-righteous. I quote you 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 12. He says, take heed when you think you stand, lest you fall. But I give you some encouragement. He also said in that next verse, verse 10 there. He said, there's no temptation taking you, but such as is common to man. Now hear what the devil will do. See, when the devil assaults you, and you young people listen, he'll make you feel like you're the Lone Ranger. See, he wants to isolate us, doesn't he? If he can isolate me, he can kind of get me. So he'll say, well, if nobody had ever been tempted like I've been tempted, so you might as well just give up, he'll say. I've got a new weapon I'm using on you, buddy. You can't overcome this. But I can go back to the Word of God. It said in 1 Corinthians 10:13, there is no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape you may be able to bear it. Use scriptures like that. Okay? So let me go down now just for a moment to Romans chapter 1. Let's be realistic, friends. We're great sinners. We have a great Savior. And Brother Jimmy's right. Don't forget what he said. You hear what he said? He said, while we're still bothered by sin, the Lord, when He regenerated us, has broken the bondage of sin. Everybody that's not born again is a slave to sin. They claim they're free, but they're slaves. That's what He said in the book of Peter, didn't it? Promising them freedom, they become the servants of corruption. They become under bondage. We have weapons we can use. Isn't that wonderful? There's a great big difference there. There's a great big difference there. You know what you can't do if you're a child of God? You can't enjoy sin like a reprobate can. Now, a reprobate can enjoy sin. I'm talking about totally enjoy sin. I'm going to tell you another one. Sometimes you think I talk to you about it, but I don't think I do. I went down to the Caribbean to preach in Tortola. I had a good time. Brother Herb Hepburn, I went down there. The door, we thought he had opened up a door. It looked like maybe he hasn't. We tried. We had a great time preaching. And we were dealing with the poor black folks. The Tortola is a tourist attraction, mainly. Beautiful place. But most of the people are, you know, tourist attractions and all that. We were just preaching some poor old black people. They're pretty intelligent. In fact, they're very intelligent. We had a great time there. On the last night there, we had preached our hearts out. We were just felt great. We were euphoric. We had just had preached our hearts out. We had some fellowship with those people. We were feeling, our mission had been accomplished. We thought, well, let's relax a little bit. So down there, that beautiful bay, they have these yachts there. They have all these bright lights. So Herb and I decided to walk out on the wharf. And so we do. You know what we saw? A different lifestyle. We saw yachts. We heard people with music. Then people were drinking. They're crowding. They're partying. And you know what got me? All of a sudden, for just a moment, I thought, you know, I think I like that lifestyle. I think I like that lifestyle. But Brother Dave, it didn't take me about 2 or 3 minutes. I thought, you know what? I probably would enjoy that lifestyle for about 5 minutes. About 5 minutes. Now, if I wasn't born again, I'd give my life to that. Many of those people gave their life to that. We met people there that we talked to. That's all they did. One great big party. We met wealthy retired people that all they did was buy yachts, go down there, and drink and party their lives away. That's what the world likes to do. Now, part of me liked that. Part of me thought, you know what? This looks like a lot of fun. But thank God I knew in an instant. If I tried that, it wouldn't last even a whole night. I'd be sick at my stomach. I'd be miserable. I ought to thank God for that. Bro, friends, if I had not had the Spirit of God in me, I'd be given to that kind of lifestyle. But what I know is this. I've got the same Spirit in me that Moses had in the 11th chapter of Hebrews. Moses refused to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. There are pleasures in sin, young people and old people as well. There are pleasures in sin. If there weren't pleasure, we wouldn't be tempted with it. But thank God, Moses refused to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. You know why? But he chose rather to suffer. This is a choice he made. Nobody put a gun to his head. He chose to endure affliction with the people of God instead of enjoying the pleasures of sin for a season. You know why? He had respect and the recompense of the reward. He knew that God's a righteous judge, and you, the child, got to know the same thing. Brethren, you know why you don't go all the way into sin? Because you fear God. You fear God. Romans chapter 3 says, talking about reprobates, there's no fear of God before their eyes. But you and I, if we be God's born-again children, we fear God. That fear may not be as strong as we want it to be all the time. I wouldn't be God, it was really strong in my life all the time. It's not always as strong as I wish it were. So then I pray. I do pray this often. Over in Psalm 86, verse 11, I pray, unite my heart to fear thy name. That's a good prayer for all of us. That's the last clause of Psalm 86, 11. I say, God, unite my heart. Imply my heart gets divided sometimes. Lord, unite my heart to fear thy name. I'm glad you and I can't live in sin. I may indulge in sin from time to time, and I don't do that. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not living a reprobate lifestyle. I'm living a lifestyle I wouldn't be ashamed for you to follow me around. I don't want you to look at my mind and see my thoughts all the time. I'm not ashamed for anybody to follow me around and look at my lifestyle. I can say that by God's grace only. But I tell you what, if God ever lets me to myself, friends, I could commit so many sins and you could also. We must pray, God, keep me close to you. And friends, let's use the weapons God gives us. What are the weapons? Going to the house of God, hearing the gospel preached. How many times have we gone to the house of God and the gospel sermon has broken that chain of temptation and saved us from a life of disaster? Reading the Word of God. Listen, let me give you a good verse on that. Psalm 119 and verse 50. I love that verse 50 there. Here's what David said in Psalm 119, verse 50. He said, "This is my comfort and my affliction, for thy word hath quickened me." Brethren, that word quicken there means revive me. How many times have we been down, Lord of snakes, cold as a piece of ice, and some word we read in the Bible, or some word we might have had in a conversation with a believer, that word revived us, put us right back on the right track. In our prayer life, friends, these are the weapons that God had given us that we might be able to defeat old Satan. Now, finally, I'm going to get out of my text, and I'm going to quit. Look at Romans chapter 1. Here's where we'd be if it weren't for God's grace. Let's thank God for His wonderful grace. Look down at verse, I'll start again in verse 28, and then I'm going to read on down, and then I'm going to go close. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, and many people don't want God in their knowledge, they push Him as far away as they possibly can. They do it, don't they? It's materialism, it's wealth, it's pleasure, it's prestige, all kind of ways. Lord, but brethren, listen, I'm going to have to say one more thing before I get down there. I used to live at Clinton, Kentucky. I loved it at Clinton. Lord used Judy and I, me to help get that church started there at Clinton, back in the 70s. And out on Highway 51, they had an old black guy that cooked the best barbecue that the world's ever seen. His name was Grundy. Old Grundy would go all the way up in Illinois and get hickory wood, just the right kind to make that barbecue just right. I told Sister Sandra Dean, my 71 Valiant had something wrong with my Valiant. Brother Sam, every time I passed by there on 51, that Valiant would start pulling over that way. I don't know where something wrong with my front of the line, but what it was, he'd pull that way. But let me tell you what, I like old Grundy. Old Grundy, I'll never forget that old man, that old black man, bless his heart. I'm sure he's the Lord today. He had two signs in his barbecue place. One of them says, "No foul language used in here." But the one that really got my attention was, "At the end of the road, you meet God." Brethren, at the end of the road, we're all going to meet God. So I don't care how much these individuals try to put God out of their mind. At the end of the road, they're going to meet God. All right, let's look at that. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind. That's a sad place to be. That's a mind that doesn't work right. It doesn't work right. To do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, bad, isn't it? Malignity, whiffers, backbiters, haters of God, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents. That one shocks me. You kids, I want you to listen. All the kids listen to me, man, okay? I was getting close to lunchtime. All the kids listen to me. When I first read that right there, it surprised me. You know why? That's a horrible catalog, isn't it? Haters of God, filled with fornication. But right in the middle of that catalog, it says disobedience to parents. That shocked me the first time I read it. God must hate it when you don't mind your mom and your daddy. He puts that in a category of pretty terrible sin. I want to beg you children to obey your parents to the Lord if this is right. Without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful. Now look at verse 32, because I want to close with verse 32. This verse tells us there's no such thing as an atheist. And Brother Jimmy's exactly right. Everybody, way down deep in their heart, know when they're doing wrong, they're just going to do it anyway. Hear what it says. Who knowing the judgment of God, that they which do such things, they which commit such things, are worthy of death. They know that. See, knowing the judgment of God, they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, they have pleasure in them that do them. Brothers and sisters, that's where you and I'd be if it weren't for God's grace. We'd be a foolish rebel. We'd be an insane rebel. It's an insane individual who fights God. But we have a whole world full of people who are fighting God. Brethren, sin's insane. But who, knowing the judgment of God, they which commit such things are worthy of death, they know that, they not only do the same, have pleasure in them that do them. The only thing that keeps you and me from being that way is we have God's Holy Spirit. He placed in our heart in regeneration. And that spirit lusts against the flesh, thank God. And the flesh lusts against the spirit. But thank God, like Brother Jimmy said, we can't go as far toward righteousness as we want to go, but thank God we can't go far down toward sin that our natural man wants to go. So thank God for the struggle. And listen, this is the best part of all. Precious friends, thank God someday that struggle will be over with. I preached a funeral last Saturday. And we had our deacon ordination in the morning. I had to go to Rimpey, Mississippi. And Mike Spriegel and I preached the sermon. That young man, that 20-year-old young man, who was obviously a child of God, we knew he was by his lifestyle, who had got killed in that very tragic car wreck. And you know what I told those people? I said, folks, I'm going to say something that may shock some of you, but I'm going to tell you that when yesterday, when David died, that's the best day of that boy's life. I said, it might not have been the best day of your life, the best day of his life. And brother, that's the truth. Where I got that from, one time, Judy and I were coming home from Kentucky. A precious little sister that I pastored, Darlene Walker, was riding in the car, Judy and me. And like, she just got to talking, kind of her low voice, kind of rambling on a little bit, so I wasn't even listening to her like I should have been, to study my ears perked up. She said, Brother Zach, she said, I thought a whole lot about the day of my death. She said, Brother Zach, I thought the day of my death is the best day of my life because that's the day I go and see Jesus Christ. Friend, that's the truth. You and I don't need to be fearing death. The loved ones left behind may do some grieving, but friends, if we preach the truth, and I do believe we do preach the truth, I believe the very second, the very instant that the life left that boy's body, his life went to be with God who gave it. While Jesus Christ told that thief on the cross, he said, Lord, when you come to your kingdom, remember me. He said, verily, I say to thee, today you will be with me in paradise. So my friends, thank God we'll someday get rid of this whole struggle. But until that time, let's take courage. It's worth the struggle. Because let's follow 1 Corinthians 15:58. Because of the great resurrection. That great resurrection chapter. Sometimes you may think, oh, this struggle against sin is not worth it. I get so weary. How can I keep on going? Brother, I encourage you, keep on keeping on. Mount Zion, keep on 20 more years. And 20 after that. And 20 after that until Jesus Christ comes again. Because here's what the Apostle Paul says. He says that, my friend, because of the great resurrection, because of the glory we'll be in someday, he said, therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved, he said, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Why? For as much as you know, your labor in the Lord is not vain. May the Lord bless you.